greet all the members and let me greet the DG and the officials and the parliamentary staff as well. Can you help us with the roll call?
Thank you, Chairperson. We currently have yourself, Honourable Binko Gigaba. I have Honourable Adwins. I have Honourable Letsie. I have Honourable Van der Walt, Honourable Van Zyl, and Honourable Noble. And I also have an apology for Honourable Sukers. And there was an apology from the Office of the Minister, who will not be able to be with us this morning. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Members, this is the last meeting for the quarter and for the year that we are having. We requested to have this meeting because we couldn't adopt the minutes, about five sets of minutes last week because of the congestion of the Bella Bill oral submissions that we had. And I want to sincerely thank members for availing themselves to attend physically the oral submissions, which I think we managed to proceed very, very well. Today we are adopting the minutes of the 1st November, the 8th November, the 15th November, the 22nd November, and the 29th November. And then after that, we are going to have an update on the processing of the Bella Bill, the written, the oral, and the provincial public participation, which we are anticipating to hold next year. And then we will have a briefing on the international study tour. And then, can you go up a bit, Llewellyn? Before we are supposed to have a draft program, Llewellyn.
Yes, Chairperson, I do have that draft program for members to have a look at. I have not sent it out because I was still waiting to get a director from Chair on that one. Thank you.
No, I think you can put it. Let's put it as number four so that we brief members what the program looks like for 2020 or 2023. And then this is the agenda, members. Can I get adoption for the agenda?
Adopted, Chair. Proposed.
Thank you very much, Van der Walt. Any seconder?
Chairperson, I do.
Thank you very much. Yo, Pella, our agenda is adopted by opposition.
It's a different day.
I think you just want to push us to finish now for today, but we need to rush because I think there is a sitting at 10.
Well, we're inspired by other developments, Chair.
Let's go to the minutes of the first, really, November. Thank you very much. We had a meeting on virtual platform, which was at 9:30, where we were getting a status on the Bella Bill processing. And then we considered the BRRR report, and we also considered and adopted the minutes of the 18th and the 25th of October. First page is the attendance of members, and second page and the department, attendance of the department. And then we opened the meeting, which was moved by Honorable Boshoff and seconded by Honorable Nodada. And then we had a briefing on the updated status of the Bella Bill, which was done by the content advisor. Oh, Mam Chakwane, and then those were the observations and questions. And then we had responses. And then we concluded the meeting. And then, like we said, we have adopted the RRR report and also the minutes of the 18th and the 25th of October. We concluded the meeting at 10 past 12. Any corrections? Mm-hmm. The absence of corrections, can we adopt the minutes? Honorable Itzia?
Thank you very much. We're moving for the adoption of the minutes as they are.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
Chair, Honorable Van der Walt was second.
Thank you very much, my Van der Walt. Next minute. The next meeting we had was on the 8th of November, which was the hybrid and physical meeting at room M46, Max Building. It's when we were starting with the oral hearing of the Bella Bill. Page one is the attendance of the members. Page two is the attendance of the department. And of course, all the organizations that have come to put their case to the committee. And then as they are, as you can see them, I think we've done about 9 of them. And of course, the issues that they have raised, which we listened by the members. And of course, we interacted with them as the committee. And then we started the meeting at 9, we adjourned at 4:15. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the minutes? Can we adopt the minutes, members?
Chairperson,
Principal,
I move that these minutes be adopted.
You are also at the rank.
I'm in the bus.
In the bus.
Okay, all right, Principal. Thank you very much. I see Honorable. You can mute your mic, Principal. Okay. I see Honorable Adwans also has sent a chat to, would rather take it to second the minutes. Can we move to the third set? The third set was also a physical meeting on the 15th of November where we continued with the oral submissions of the Bella Bill. Page one was the attendance of the members. Page two, the officials and also the stakeholders that came to present. And we had those presentation. I must say we had a very fruitful deliberations with almost all the stakeholders that came to Parliament for the past 4 weeks. And then we concluded the meeting at 1747. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the minutes? Honorable Adwons, what is happening? Can't you speak? Honorable Adwons is adopting again. Any seconder? Any seconder? Principal? Hi, Baba Bantu, let's second the minutes, Betunana. We need to move.
Seconder, Chair.
Thank you, Siabo. We win the meeting. Siabo Onga. Honorable Diabo. Okay, the next meeting was on the 22nd of November. We had a physical meeting where we were continuing with the oral submissions hearings. Page one is attendance of the members. Page two is attendance of the officials from the department, the organizations that came to present. And then we continued with the presentations. Solidarity. It was the first time I knew that there's a union that is Solidarity. So we learn as we grow. The meeting adjourned at 16 minutes past 7 in the evening. Any corrections? Can we adopt the minutes? Can we adopt the minutes, members?
Option of the minutes, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Yabo. Any seconder?
I support.
Thank you very much, Principal. The last set of minutes, Llewellyn. This was the physical meeting as well of the Bella Bill submissions on the 29th of November. The first one is attendance of the members, page one. Okay. Page two is the attendance of DPE officials and the organizations that came to present. Meeting ended at 7:15. Any corrections? Can we adopt the minutes? Honorable Tsie.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to everybody. I am moving for the adoption of the minutes as they are. Thanks.
Any seconder?
Good morning again, Chair. I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yabo. Okay. Can I then request Llewellyn, we are done most with the minutes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Second item on the agenda, which deals with the... Can you take us to the second item, which deals... Is it the study tour or is it the Bella Bill? Yes, can we be briefed on the up to this far then? I'll hand over to Ms. Mbudem Chekwane to take us through this presentation. Honorable Tsie, your hand is up.
Legacy Chair, sorry.
Okay. Can we hand over to you, Ma'am Chekwane?
Okay. Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, honorable members, and everyone else in the platform, colleagues. Chair, the IT people, I'm at my office here in Parliament. The IT is helping me quickly with some last 3 minutes. In the meantime, can I ask Llewellyn maybe to take us to the TEM program while they're assisting me quickly?
Llewellyn, can you take us to the draft portfolio committee's program next year?
Thank you, Chairperson, members. I'm sure you can see the program on the screen.
Yes, we can see it.
Yeah, Chair, just by way of introduction, this will be the first term draft for 2023. It's a 10-week program, 10 weeks from the 24th of Jan until the 6th of April. We hope to kick off the term with what we normally do at that time of the year, is some state of school readiness for 2023. The province has been identified as KwaZulu-Natal, and those are the three districts, Zululand, King Zetswayo, and Harry Gwala districts. Of course, Chair, all of the oversights are always subject to the approval from the Chief Whip and the House Chairperson. Our first meetings or engagements will be with the department chair and Umalusi on the 2022 National Senior Certificate Exams outcomes. That meeting is also normally at the start of the year. We will then continue with a briefing by the department on the school readiness for 2023 for the year coming. Chair, we will then move to, there will be the SONA is on the 9th, currently scheduled for the 9th. We will then continue with our program in respect of the presentation of the draft final PC strat plan by the Secretariat. That week is we also see the debate on the SONA as well as reply by the President. The week of the 21st of Feb, Chair, as per norm, after the SONA, we will have a brief by DBE on their analysis, implications, and impact of the SONA. Chair, then we will brief members on the preparations for the provincial public participation hearings. Because that week, at the end of that week, on the Thursday, the 23rd, we hope, if allowed, that we would be able to start and kick off the public participation hearings in the provinces, to start in Limpopo, Chair, and to look at Kiani, Vembe, and Capricorn. The budget speech is on the 22nd. Then we have, of course, the department needs to brief us on the second quarterly report, which they will do around about the 28th of Feb. But once again, Chair, we will then be briefing you on our next round of public participation hearings. This time around, it will be in the Northwest, looking at Bonjana La, Dr. Ruth Mapati, and Ngaka Modiri Molema Education Districts. And you will, Chair, you will say, members will see that these happen over a weekend. So it'll be we will travel on the Thursday, travel back on the Monday, but we will have the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for public participation hearings in the province. Chair, we will then move to the one of our main areas during the first term, which is the budget reviews with the department and the stakeholder statutory bodies, SASE and Umalusi. There's a public holiday that week. We will then continue with the budget review of the two entities. And hopefully we can conclude on the third set of public participation hearings to be held in the Gauteng province, in the Johannesburg Central, Tshwane South, and Gauteng East. Chair, we've also included by directive of the content advisor that we're going to try. Normally at this time, we can also do some more public state of school oversight and to look at Eastern Cape in those three districts, which is the Chris Hani, Nelson Mandela Bay, and the Joe Garvey districts. Chair, that's more or less the end of the first term. And we then go into a short recess and constituency period. Chair, that is the program as it stands. Everything is, of course, dependent on the program of Parliament and necessary approvals from Parliament in respect of our oversights for the first term. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Proud. Members, that is the draft program. For the first quarter when we open next year. We are going to start on the 9th, of course, it's a constituency period till the 23rd. It's going to be 2 weeks constituency period. If approved, from the 23rd ourselves, we are proposing to do the state of readiness oversight in KwaZulu-Natal province. Of course, that is subject to approval because on the 24th, there will be a members training. So we would see if the the office of the chair of chairs approves the oversight. But members, that's the program, more or less. That's how it's gonna look like from January till April 2023. Any point of clarities or additions or adoption, Honorable Notata and Lizia.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to check, man, with this program. I know that you're going to request for approval for January for the oversight. But the program on its own, is it cast in stone or is it there's a potential of change? Just from a planning perspective, on our own diaries, or does it also have to go through a process and then Parliament can okay it? Is it fluid where there will be shifts and stuff like that? So that at least we know in the first quarter, you know, that, you know, how do things stand at this point in time.
Okay, Honorable Tsie.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I've already greeted everybody. Then, Chair, I want to make a suggestion. If you look at the constituency period in April, it's quite long. It's about 3 weeks or so. And I was thinking maybe because that is a quite long a constituency period from the 3rd to the 17th. Maybe we we consider putting an oversight visit to the Eastern Cape in Port St. John's where there were floods, and or the KZN trip as well, or oversight there where also they were affected by floods, to check a year on how far have we moved in terms of fixing the infrastructure and all of that. So I thought maybe Chair must just raise those two things during that constituency period in and around April. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honorable Tsie. So it's what, Honorable Tsie, can you, Llewellyn, just probably put it on a red highlight or something? Yes, but we will come back to everybody that has spoken just to try to make some quick responses. Babu Ngobo?
Thank you.
Natata, can you take your hand down?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the members and staff. Honorable Chairperson, I'm covered partly by Honorable Letsia, but I want to go back to the very first one, which concerns KwaZulu-Natal. The 24th, the chairperson said something like it's dependent because it's a holiday on whether it can be approved with that holiday in between. I just want to check what we are likely to do if it is not approved, because I feel that that's a very important oversight. Can it be shifted to somewhere else then? The very same oversight, not the flood one, which Honorable Litsi was talking about.
Okay. Principal, are you done, Nopal?
Yes, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Okay. Principal?
Lula Studo. I might have forgotten to greet my fellow compatriot and honorable members on the platform. Of course, because of my current situation in the shuttle. Chairperson, three things. Number one, I rise to support what Honorable Litsi has indicated. It is possible for us to kill two birds with one stone. Hence, I support the visitation of Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape during that moment. Number two, there is this issue of raised by Notad. You see, normally they say people who fail to plan, plan to fail. Hence, I want to indicate that in this plan, which is submitted to us, we must first appreciate it. It's good news. It's the right move in the right direction. However, to cover the concern of Baba Notad, let us say this be adopted in principle, knowing very well that there should be should there be any unintended, we should be able to revisit it in the name of correcting it. Maybe I should just stop there for now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Principal. Honorable at once.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm also in a very awkward position, but I also wanted to make it firstly in support of what was proposed by Honorable. But as we see that in the program, they included Eastern Cape as one of the areas that will be located and that will be visited for school readiness. And also, like they indicated, the checking those areas and also St. John's may be considered. I also want to make a note that during this country, two extra provinces will propose to stay in Eastern Cape to for not necessarily for because of this, they are charging the people. So that we try to push. With the little time that we have as a possible community, if we want to finish with this relative, that's not a way when we have time in our hands. Let's utilize it so that, because we're going to get to a very busy year where we will be now expected by our political parties to political work is expected. My fear is that if we're not going to prioritize developing the early months of the year, we might face a problem of finishing on time. So I propose that we extra two provinces for public hearings during process.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think let's first can you go back, Llewellyn, to the where the program is starting? Just to try to summarize some of the responses to what has been raised, the program is not really cast in stone, Honorable Notada. It's what we are proposing, but of course, like we are saying, it's subject to approval from the House Chair, and I've raised the issue of KZN, for instance, what we are supposed to do the first week. There's a members training. So we will have to convince the House Chair and probably make some motivation on why we need to do this oversight, but also looking into the fact that we are a committee that deals with the schools, and schools will be opening. So it's going to depend on him whether he approves or not. But for now, for the sake of our personal programs, I think let us take the program as is, because we needed to bring it here before we sent it to the house chair. And I think I'm also covering you, Dr. Ngobo, that we want to go to KZN in this week. But should we not be able to, we will have to find another slot, which I'm not sure if it's going to be in this quarter, because all other weeks are full with what we have programmed. But let's hope that it is going to be approved. And then there is a suggestion from Honorable Itsie, and I think Honorable Adwonsa and Principal as well, that we need to consider going to the Eastern Cape in Port St. John's. Have you captured that, Llewellyn? Yeah. On the week of the 8th to the 17th, we need to also make an application to do an oversight. Okay, so Llewellyn has put it KZN and Eastern Cape. That is now both provinces. And I think that's if now the oversight to KZN it's not approved. The Eastern Cape one, we will be specific in the Port St. John's. I don't think there is a problem with that. And then the issue of the Bella Bill, there is a proposal that we use the constituency period to also consider adding three provinces, so that we try to fast track the issue of the Bella Bill. And I think all of us, we are politicians, so we need to take into consideration that it's going to be bumper to bumper next year with the elections work, the preparation for the elections work of 2024. So the more we do provinces earlier, the better, so that when it gets to be congested, at least we have been in many provinces. So I think that as well, we are going to, because of its constituency period, it must be approved also by the House Chair and the Chief Whip. So we are also going to make that addition of those provinces as recommendations. And I'm not sure if there is something that I'm missing, or is anyone that I did not respond to. But I think we have taken note of what honorable members are raising. And for now, this is how our program looks like for the first quarter, and which includes the constituency period also in April. And I just want to mention to members that our public hearings, I'm sure you have taken note with other committees as well, that our public hearings are done during weekends, starting from Thursday to Monday. So when we embark on public hearings, it's going to be weekends programs. So I'm just alerting members so that it does not come as a surprise when we must leave our families during weekends and embark on the public hearings. So I think we are together as far as the at least the draft program is concerned. Can I then get members to adopt it? Of course, we are adopting it subject to approval. Honorable Zia.
Thank you very much, Chair. With the, the proposed changes we've made or proposed, we are moving for the adoption of this program. Thank you very much.
I support.
Oh, okay, Principal. No, it's fine. Thank you very much, honorable members, for adopting 2023 first quarter program. Sis Posh, are you ready now?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, so I asked you, I thought you were seconding. I asked you, yeah. And then you did not speak. You can speak, Nopal.
Yes, I was trying to, I was still unmuting, Honorable Chairperson. No, I wanted to support, but in protest a little bit, because of exactly what the Honorable Chairperson had alluded to, that next year is going to be a very busy year to the parties. So when we add three, maybe oversights, that could be a bit hectic. I don't know whether to say hectic, but maybe it might. Not be very successful, because parties will honestly be running from as early as we begin the year. However, there is no train smash. We will do everything we can, but it will be understood if once or twice somebody does not pick up. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. That's why I said in protest, but I'm supporting that.
Okay.
I'm not okay, a difficult man. Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, we are taking note of what you have raised. Let's agree, members, that we are adopting, we have adopted actually the program. And where, of course, it's subject to change, it will change. And the proposal that are made now, we must remember that they are also must be applied for. So, including doing public hearings during a constituency period that needs to be approved. So we will see how it goes. We will do all the applications as mandated by the committee, and then we will come back and report how far did it go. That will obviously be next year. Over to you, Sis Posh.
Thank you, Chair. Warmest greetings, Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. I also want to greet the members of the DBE colleagues, the stakeholders present here this morning, colleagues of the social cluster and the secretariat. I greet you all. I am going to outline very briefly the progress of where we are with the Bella Bill. As the question was raised as to where we are. I hope everybody is seeing the screen. Can everyone see the screen? The presentation.
We can see it.
Oh, thank you. With due regard to the content of this presentation, it's a very brief report to update members on the progress made with regards to the process submissions. The submissions that came that supported the bill in terms of the views of the public, those against in partial support, key recommendations made, as well as some update on the oral hearings which took place in Parliament, and then also closing up with the provincial proposed public hearings. Honorable members, sustained Firstly, this presentation gives a brief summary as to how we have processed the bill so far. And also, as I indicated, the public space. It became very important that when we walk or journey the Bella Bill, we also reflect on where we started and how far we are and where we're going. So this particular slide is trying to map that process when the bill was introduced as an amendment which proposes to change or make changes in the SASSA Act of 1996 as well as the EEA Act of 1998. The bill was introduced in Parliament. It was tagged and published and referred to the committee. The minister presented it, and the portfolio committee deliberated on the processes of the bill as to how it will be unfolding. Through the motion of desirability, the bill was advertised for public comments. We received the public comments as we are sitting as the staff members of Parliament, who are busy processing and taking into account the written submissions which have been processed so far, and then also the oral submissions which took place in Parliament as conducted and virtually, as hybrid, and then people who came through. Out of that, we'll also have to look at the political approval for public participation and thereafter advertise for public hearings to the provinces that we'll be going to. Also, before we go away for end of the year, we'll have done the planning and preparation for the public hearings and also liaise with internal structures of Parliament, that is the designated units that will work with us when we go on public hearings, as well as all relevant stakeholders. When we go out next year to the public participation in all nine provinces, we make sure that whatever mandate of this bill is, that it will be done. We'll do the reporting, we'll draft it, we'll table it to the committee so the committee can debate and take it to the respective structures. That's how I was trying to make sure that when we look at where we started and where we are at this particular slide, trying to wrap it all in one. Honorable members, with due regard to the written submissions, in the first of November presentation, we outlined that eight themes emerged. And out of those eight themes that emerged, we put the data on a spreadsheet, we put the data on MS Word, we put the data also on Google to ensure that we are capturing the themes and the information as it alludes to, number one, access to basic education, two, compulsory learner education attendance, three, the issue of language policy, governance and management of public schools, budget and finances, home education, independent schools, and the last one, the educators. With due regard to the overview, we receive approximately 18,000 written submissions, which have been broken down into the following. On MS Word, we processed 1412 submissions. On the emails we've received, which we have received so far and have processed the data on the Excel spreadsheet, we've done 5728. The Google one still stands at 549. And then in total, honorable members, of the approximate 18,000 submissions which we received, we have done 7689. This process is still ongoing. As this week, honorable members, we're still working and ensuring that all the submissions which were submitted are being processed. On the Google ones in particular, the processed ones, we have noted that from the 449 received, the number of people that said yes, said no, and partially, we've tried to capture it also in terms of the percentages. And this information also, honorable members, on the Excel spreadsheet one is still being verified, as I indicated that the team is still collecting all the process submissions to the designated colleagues also who were allocated the submission. So on the Google ones, the yes, people in favor or submissions in favor are sitting at 76%. Sorry, the yes is 18%, the no is 76%. And partial 6%. As these targets are moving targets, once we are still updating members at the next meeting, a proper review of how the numbers also have also progressed. The numbers not cut in stone. With regards to the oral submissions now that took place in Parliament, the date was the 8th of November to the 29th of November, where we had engaged with civil society structures, professional associations. Some came as individuals. We looked at the Children's Commissioner, the Chapter 9 institutions, the learner organizations, the home education sector, the trade unions, and faith-based organizations. This slide, honorable members, outlines all the stakeholders that came forth to Parliament to come and do their oral submissions. In total, those that came through, we had about 31. And then also there are those submitters who expressed an interest to come to Parliament. However, due to reasons unknown to us, while Mr. Brown had, as a secretariat, had engagement with them, they did not pitch up, come forth at the oral submissions. So those were about 9. So 31 came forth and 9 did not pitch up. This slide, honorable members, we're going to give you now from the views of the public, the clauses that gained support, the clauses which seems not to be getting support, or being rejected, and those which are partial. We've tried to club them as we're progressing to analyze the public submissions. Clause 2, Section 3, which speaks to access to basic education. Generally, this clause is giving support, whereby it is welcome that Section 3, which deals with compulsory learner attendance at age 6 or grade R, is welcomed. However, the concern raised is that the capacity of schools to admit learners in terms of infrastructure and the provisioning of educator personnel may be impacted. And that the public submitters had pointed to the issue of the fact that there's an infrastructure backlogs, and this might cause an impediment to growth. Other views that support this bill made reference and point to Clause 10, which is the abolishment of corporal punishment. They look at it as a positive step. However, the department is encouraged to ensure that forms of corporal punishment should focus on positive discipline. Positive discipline being that it cannot be just corporal punishment, but look at alternative forms. Another one which receives support is the issue of two or more schools. However, what is important on this one is that public participation should be key so that the parents, the community, and learners are also consulted when the measure of one or two schools is being implemented. Clause 51, which prohibits educators to conduct business with the state, also receives some welcome, whereby the core business of educators is really about educating and not necessarily conducting business with the state. This slide, honorable members, now looks at those that objected to the bill. Clause 4, if I can grab it quickly, clause 4, clause 8, clause 14, clause 37, clause 16, clause 17, clause 21. Those, we tried to summarize them succinctly so that members can understand which ones are not receiving favor and which ones are the public objecting to. So clause 5, in particular, which looks at the consultation of the HOD having to consult with the governing body and having the final authority, the public here, honorable members, are saying no. And the reason for the objection is that the public says it seems to conflict with the tenets and the spirit of the South African Schools Act, which looks at a model of a partnership between the school, the community, the parents, and at large. Therefore, it cannot be that this is only put now on the HOD and put the SGB on the side. That was just a fear on that one. Another one which is being objected is the issue of conditions under which car can be sold in school, which is clause 8, whereby the issue of child-friendly environment, an environment that will not conflict with their learning, an environment that it could be difficult and not guaranteed that the selling would be allowing a safe space for learners. And this, the inputs were made, were standing very firm that there should be no alcohol sold that should be allowed. Another one is on disclosure of financial interest. Some of the opinion that this honorable members, if it is acceptable, the disclosure would constitute an unfair or unreasonable privacy of the governing body members, and sometimes they would deter not to come and be part of the governing structures. The home education sector, we had quite a number of submissions on this one, as well as at the oral submissions hearing which we conducted here. They stated their case, they've put their concerns and the possibilities of what might happen. And some of these have called for the fact that the research which has been done on this is very minimal. Therefore, they need more research to be done and more thoroughness on this, because they don't want at this stage to seem to apply or to comply with the aspiration that they must apply for registration. Also, on the issue of the clause 6, 7, 21, which hinges on the HOT centrally making some decisions, this was not in viewed in favor, and the extension of jail punishment from 6 to 12 months, whereby at the end of the day, it's the learners that will suffer as to the expressions of the public. The next slide was also, there was an objection on language policy, which is clause 5, section 6. The comments indicating that this should not be with the HOD, but rather lie with the school's governing body, because the school's governing body are at the locus of the community, and they're the ones who can be making that decision. I did speak previously on the issue of the FLs being threatened language, and also at the oral submissions, we listened to the stakeholders that were present, and at the end of the question that raised was that, where is this day coming from? And at the end of the day, the bill really is not saying the Africans is being eroded. So in a way, the HOD having the responsibility as well as the governing bodies of constitutional provisioning, it is ensured that they must also look into the issue of learning and support materials that also take care of the language groups. In partial support, honorable members, I'll allude to independent schools, the issue of financial records, and the issue of undocumented learners. While I would say they were in partial view, the independent schools in particular are of the concern when it comes to the issue of them having to submit reports on the each of the quarters, and feel that they would rather be doing so on three quarters, because being required to do so, like the public schools, would put them at a disadvantage. On the issue of clause 3342, the public submitters indicate that this is bulk administrative work, which would entail that if the department is going through all through the whole number of schools in the country, that the department, which is DPE, should rather spend time rather on schools which are struggling, where governing body have got the capacity and the competence to deal with financial record, they should be allowed to do so. The undocumented learners in clause 4, section 5 is a basis that requires that it's an issue that lies on the not only on the department, but also other stakeholders involved, which is the Department of Home Affairs, which was also cited. Questions of clarity raised on the which came also very strongly at the oral hearing was, it's a constitutional matter that learners should be afforded the opportunity as per section 29 in chapter 2 of the bill that they must be at school. However, with undocumentation, whether from the South African side or learners from other countries in the entire world, the question that was raised was, where in the world are learners admitted no documentation? And also, what is stopping the parents from approaching the embassies, consultants, consulate, and what is the position of the static and the AU protocol in relation to learners that come no documentation? Critical question mark. On clarity of questions on clause 37, section 51, the home education sector question that was raised was that where they're advocating for no regulation of homeschooling, how will this sector be monitored? How will this sector be quality assured? And if a parent passes away, then a learner being at a homeschooling environment, who takes care of that learners and schooling and the advantages and disadvantages, whether the advantage or disadvantage outweighs the homeschooling sector. These were questions which were raised, and in particular, the issue of accreditation, because some parents teach their learners. At the end of the day, this particular parent does not necessarily have the professional background into the educational fraternity. And this was also asked as to, can any parent just teach the learner from grade 1 to grade 10 or 12 with no proper environment? Or is it anyone else could have the capacity just come through and teach a learner? So those were kind of dynamics that also had come forth. Clause 8, there was a question related to the taverns and the sales of drugs which happened in the perimeter of the fencing of the school, and where the governing body should be making some interventions, the kind of interventions that the governing bodies would offer to ensure that the school is functioning still, and also considering the fact that the HOD is usurping the powers in accordance with the bill, where the source of this fear was. Sorry, this is not just clause 8, but other clauses involved. In summary, honorable members, stakeholders are expressing that the policy proposals must consider redrafting the Schools Act, that it can become a true educational act, and that a supportive environment that also allows the education laws to cater for new emerging modalities. For example, the online learning that also must be included in the bill. Also incorporate the ECD factor, which looks into the Children's Amendment Bill, in as far as it is residing with the Department of Social Development. This portfolio committee, NDP, needs to look into that because it's dealing with children. Also dedicating some time and resources and capacity to include in the bill the issue of rural education and the reforms that are accelerating to democratize and improve quality and policy development in the country. This specific recommendation alludes to clause 4 in particular, where the governing body of the school is the most appropriate to determine the language policy, but the admission policy, and that the SDP can consider a range of interconnected factors taking into account the planning and governance of the school. Also, the governing body should avoid a functional extension of the department, who is required to perform certain actions while under direct direction and control of the department. So great care there should be taken. And also the national and provincial education departments work that they will need to work together to address issues and resolve the issue of capacity. And the strengthening of SGP was a recommendation which came in most submissions, that the SGP Committee for Development and Building of a Solid Administrative Support should be the key also when it comes to the roles and the training and capacity building of SGPs. A proposed bill in its entirety, number of majority of submissions also against this bill in its entirety. It's what they raised. One line, I'm submitting my submission, I'm rejecting it in its entirety. And then where the reasons were also related was the issue that some submitters felt that this in particular would take the rights of children away. And then also highlighted was that there seemed to be some lack of trust in the government due to tendencies where the state institutions were not necessarily doing what they were supposed to do in terms of their responsibilities. Honorable members, in terms of the participation hearings, as the ground had sent it to the plan or the draft plan, this is how it would look like for the starting with the Limpopo province, Northwest province, Gauteng province. However, if there are any changes, the liaison will take place through the secretariat and also some consultation members at large. So, but at the present moment, tentatively, these are the proposed dates that Mr. Brown, maybe I can give him 1 minute to speak into it, or I think that's what is covered in the draft term. Mr. Brown?
No, thank you, Portia. No, I think Chairperson adequately covered us in respect of the public hearings. Just one addition is that we now may have to consider adding maybe two or three additional provinces for the first term, as per the request from Honourable Aduans, and we will try and factor that into the program as well. Thank you.
Okay. That being the case, Honourable Members, this was a short synopsis in terms of the input. If there's any questions, I think I'd like to pause there. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mam Chekwane. Members, that's the processing of the submissions to date. You'll take note that not everything is processed. The number that we, the volume of the submissions we have received was too much versus the human resource that we have in Parliament. So that is the work they have managed to do. Honorable Notat, I see your hand is up.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to, thank the support staff of the committee for processing such a large number of submissions and just the work that goes on behind the scenes. I just want to ask, Mam Portia, do you maybe anticipate that, because I know it's quite a large volume that's left now, about 10,000 to process. Do you think those will potentially be processed before we go to the public participation hearings in the provinces? And if not, do you maybe have a forecast, as Honorable Ratsehla didn't mention earlier, about planning ahead and seeing what is the potential timelines in which these can be completed? And then the second thing, Chair, I just want to request that when the program is maybe adjusted as Mr. Brown has said, that we actually be sent through that, to consider, because I know colleagues, even Honorable Ngobo, raised this issue that, beyond being an election, campaign year, but also, some of us have elective conferences in the next year as well. So we just need to be able to plan thoroughly so that we make sure that we don't lack in doing our constitutional responsibilities. So I'd really, really like a constant communication on this issue so that we are available for the work of the committee, because it's very, very important. It's also a very important year for the committee to process this particular bill. So thanks, Chair.
Oh, that's the only hand. Oh, okay, Honorable at once.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I would also align myself with Honorable Notata has alluded to, because it's a concern that was still not done or finished with the written submissions. We'll also propose that maybe we have, weekly update on the work that should have been done from now on up until maybe we go to the public hearings. Because if we're not going to push, we'll be left with so much work to be done, and at some point we will not know whether the written submissions that were submitted, whether were captured or not. So it is important that we get at least pushing to finish those written submissions. So a weekly proposal, I propose that we do it weekly, that we get whatever work that should have been done up until we were finished with the written submissions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Suppose.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, for the comments that have been raised. We thank you and we know them. And I think also in terms of a humble apology, where the report, in particular the summary, which was presented late, I just want to clarify that we do commit to the work and we want to ensure that there is constant communication. And where, I want to make an example. Yesterday, we tried very hard to chase the numbers, to chase the written submission so that what we give to the members is information that is verified. And the verification now, when you deal also with staff members who are not necessarily within the precinct, some who don't even have access or have a struggle with the connection, was giving a bit of a hiccup. So behind the scenes, there's lots of work that we're doing and we note what we have said and we're going to strive to ensure that we get this information. If I can just note on Honorable Adonis's comment of a weekly one, will a bi-weekly update be not sufficient? I'll tell you why. The range of information that we deal with is such that at the end of the day also, we come together and we meet. I don't know if I could look at the bi-weekly update.
No, okay.
Thanks.
I think whatever is possible, if weekly, you can be able to give, probably you can send to members, and if fortnightly, you can send to members. But also taking into note that when is Parliament closing? When are you closing your staff?
I'm at Parliament right now. I had to reopen myself to make sure that the work of the committee is done. So
I'm asking, when is Parliament officially closing?
On the 15th of December.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah. We will then ask to have that information, as members are requesting that any form of progress, members must be informed. Members, so that is an update on where we are with the hearings. We have managed at least to process 31 organizations. Of course, there were one or two individuals as part of that 31, that all are part of the sector and who have raised their views. But of course, I think as for the rest, then we are going to meet them, co-public hearings on the ground, if we would have missed anything. But by the look of things as they are processing, the trend is the same. Submissions are coming from the organizations that have submitted. So the trend won't change much, and the organizations won't change much, and the issues won't change much. It's a repetition of the issues that are raised by these organizations. It's 18 past nine, we need to finish. Can we go to the last issue? The last issue will be the study tour. Your hands are still up, not data, and at once I take it the legacy hands. Okay. The last issue, the study tour, I suppose.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Louis, can you share the draft brief overview?
Let me try it, sorry.
Okay. The one which takes the three together.
Well, Porsche, is that the right one?
Yes. Okay. On the issue of the study tour, Honorable Chair, as per the last meeting last Tuesday, and as we made that we need to look into this and comes up with some brief and the information to the members. As of yesterday afternoon, we provided the committee member, the honorable members, with three countries. That is South Korea, Finland, and the USA. In the presentations, we gave the strength and the reason and the motivation, aims and objective of each country. And also made it that because of the fact that we have not as yet made a decision, the members have not yet made a decision, there are three countries are a bouquet where the members can, at the end of the day today, decide which specific country they would like to look at. But taking into account the overview of why this international study tour and how the members of the portfolio committee can benefit in South Africa at large. Number one, Parliament has a strategic objective of international participation, whereby participating in a study tour can give members a hands-on perspective on international best practice, which is required to ensure that the oversight function of the committee is well executed and that the priority areas of the sector as identified, which relate to the NDP, which relate to the education being conducted for quality education, are also being realized. With due regard to the reasons of this study tour, South Africa can learn in any of the three countries because they are the best, not to say others are not doing well, but when we look at the OECD report, when you look at the TIMSS and PIRLS report, we also could be sufficiently satisfied that they can contribute to the improvement in the sharing and learning of the primary rate of primary education schooling, that as members go to any of the three, they may investigate the reasons for why they're performing very well. They may look at the education acts and policies. The members can explore the systems of early childhood development, which was implemented in the as of the 1st of April. Look at the issue of vocational education and ICT provisioning, as well as establish successes and challenges in how they've also achieved quality education. Also an opportunity to interact with the various stakeholders, like teacher development programs, their municipalities, how they support education or overall objectives, and then also come to better understand how these schools that will also visit contribute towards the country's academic achievement in terms of learner support, institutional management governance, training and development, and curriculum excellence. So, honorable members, in front of you, if I can briefly capture, because now we also have to give time to the questions, with you, with South Korea. South Korea is excelling in ECD, and South Korea is doing very well in TIMSS and PIRLS. In terms of ICT provisioning, they've got smart digitized curriculum, which has taken back as far as back as 2015. And up to the point of analysis, South Africa can learn better in terms of how they've done that. I'm just trying to do a summary now. With Finland, Finland also has an ECD. They are looking at quality education overall, not only for early childhood, but early childhood, adult education, public schooling at large. They also have a vocational education system, which is an inspiration. And also they focus on quality and efficiency in the quality space of education. With regards to the USA, we are looking at the Bella Bill that is alluding to homeschooling or the homeschooling education sector. Of the three countries, they've got that. I think as we also listened last week with the organization that came to that, the concept comes from their side. They also have the multicultural centers, which look into the issue of learners that come from other countries and how they adapt them as the host country when they come. There's something to be learned there. also with the science and mathematics, their achievements. Yes, we know that they outdo other countries, and we can learn. Not to say we are in a learning and sharing perspective, we can also bring on board what you do well, and then also learn from them what they do. Also, the teacher development programs that we can learn from them. The district support, especially for the inclusive education, particularly for underfunded schools, communities, low-income schools, and how this overall also goes towards the attainment of the education system that learners derive support. I think, succinctly, honorable members, as we have presented in the briefs, is what I can give you at this particular moment. Now, with regards to the current basic education priorities, at the backdrop of all of this is for us to look at the ECD, learner teaching and support material, some which are doing it in terms of digitized structures, the school infrastructure, the ICT in schools, the nutritional schooling support program, social cohesion in schools. Some universities will take learners during, for example, June and March, as early as 9 years old. They go to university to be in an environment where they understand this is a tertiary institution, and one day I want to be here. Then the institutions of learning also support them. Recovering from the learning losses of COVID-19, how have they also dealt with that? Because COVID-19 affected everybody across the entire world. And then how they mitigate the learner dropout rates, those are the things that would also be on the program. We are dealing with the Bella Bill. The Bella Bill must be such that also as we select a specific country, we will look into that as to how best they deal with their educational acts and how can we learn to translate that to process and to engage such that taken off the ground towards finality. Linkages that will be made during the tour, the members of the portfolio committee will interact with the various officials as well as the ministry itself in the various countries. And the delegation would be composed of the members of the portfolio committee in terms of the various political parties and the secretariat, whose role will be to ensure that logistics are organized sufficiently ahead of time. The timing that we had looked at would be the June month, just before the fall season in any of the countries. And then the responsibility will also be about strategizing around the plan to identify the areas and the sites of learning to be visited and briefing the members with documentation and then recording and observing that when we're back from the study tour, we can look at the manner which writes this report for effective deliberation and implementation within the country. The financial cost, honorable members, in terms of travel, accommodation, will be substantiated once members have also selected which country would best serve the study tour. I'd like to end there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sus Bosch. Members, those are the proposals, USA, Finland, South Korea. I think let's just see which one we think they can start to put costing so that we apply for it. I see the hand of Honorable Notada.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I'd like to just, before proposing a country, I see that over and above the objectives that have been put as part of the motivation, I would like to suggest, Mamposha, and maybe you can note some of these things, that we may also want to look at decentralization versus centralization in those particular countries, whichever one we decide on. Secondly, the school evaluation or monitoring method, the quality teaching inspectorate method that is used in those countries. So how do they hold their teachers accountable? Thirdly, are the assessment methods used to measure personal professional and knowledge development of the child. Number four, I know there's a linkage on curriculum, but I mean, I don't think it's quite clear. I know it's vocational streams and so on and so on, but I think it would be interesting to look at the curriculum. And then lastly, is the accountability measures that are put in place vis-a-vis independent or private schools versus public schools, how that relationship links together. I know there's a huge discussion now about Montessori schools and other type of schools that provide different curricula to what our laws prescribe. So that's something that I just thought, I mean, out of interest, you know, it would be also quite assistive, you know, to kind of look at those in-depth things. But generally, some of the proposals that are put in place to go do the study tour actually make sense. Now, Chair, I would like to, over and above these suggestions that I have made, it suggests Finland. And I'm sure, I mean, some of you in the committee would have heard me refer to Finland. And I think it's quite an interesting landscape that they use there, even though it's a small country. But I think there's a lot that can be learned from the education system across the spectrum of the issues that have been raised. And I'm aware that in the beginning of our democratic dispensation, we did use the USA model the education system based on the US model. And I mean, I think it was abandoned at some point in time. South Korea offers very limited scope in terms of, I know, early childhood development and specialization, but I think as a country that's still developing, we need kind of a wide range of issues that we can cover when we do such a study. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Letsia.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. On the priorities that were looked into by the committee, the staff committee, I agree with them, but I want to add that given our meeting last week, Tuesday, and the interest in South Africa on homeschooling, that they include homeschooling as a priority as well. I'm sure you saw, Chair, that there was serious interest from homeschooling Association of South Africa or something like that, and the Gauteng one last week. The homeschooling, the national one, even brought in somebody from the US to do a presentation, which shows how serious they are taking this thing. And I think we must also look into the possibility of prioritizing that part of homeschooling too, so that we are on the same page as them. Having said that, I want to partially agree with Honorable Nada that maybe what South Korea is offering is a little bit limited. And I want to suggest that we eliminate South Korea for now, so we concentrate on these two, the US and Finland. But I want to, because I've just made a suggestion that we also concentrate on the issue of homeschooling, which is huge and big, in the US, that in our list of priorities, we look at America's number one, maybe the Washington, D.C. Area, as number one. And then number two, we consider Finland. So I'm making a proposal, Chairperson, that we give a mandate to the committee to start doing their preparation to look into these two, but with a specific order of preference, and one being the US and two being Finland, with the reasons provided. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. No, so we have now two proposals. We have Finland and USA from Honorable Nodada and Honorable Letsie. And I see that on the chat here, Honorable Van Zyl is seconding Honorable Nodada. Honorable Van Zyl.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So good morning to the colleagues. Sorry for my raspy voice this morning. I'm a bit ill. I need to confer with agree with Honorable Nodada regarding Finland, because it's an all-rounder look at education, at basic education. Honorable Letsie did mention the thing about homeschooling, and it's a big thing in the news and the media at the moment, but we must remember that homeschooling is only a handful of the service of basic education in South Africa. Our biggest is the public, you know, the public schooling system. So, you know, going on a study tour for a handful of people that you know utilize that function of homeschooling versus visiting a country where we can have more input on basic education in public schooling as a whole would be better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Van der Waal. Honorable Van der Waal.
Morning, colleagues. Chair, I'm partly covered by Honorable Van Zyl, and that is that we must look at the public schooling in predominantly, look at our country and see really how many, especially amongst our poorer communities, can do homeschooling because of our social economic circumstances. And then, of course, we have to benchmark ourselves. And do we really want to benchmark ourselves with America or with Finland? And I think Finland has received several accolades of being some of the world's best education systems. And I therefore would also support the Finland proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Murwa Tsetla.
My chair, thank you very much for this opportunity. You know, some of us, where we are operating from, it is misty and not so clear, but we are able to follow the debate. You see, Chair, I rise because of the constraints of the situation where I am. I listened very carefully to what Honorable Letsie had to say. But I think given the current situation and the challenges that we are having, the order as proposed by Honorable Letsie would make a lot of sense. And I therefore rise to say I support. Thank you.
Honorable Edwards.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I raised my hand earlier, but I want the proposal by Honorable Edwards.
Okay, now we are at the South Korea. Yes, it's out. So we've got Finland and USA as the proposals. DG, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, my profuse apologies, Chair, in case I I create problems. I apologize in advance. One will never find a country that is a perfect fit for South Africa. Every country has its unique context, history, and so on. But it depends on what honorable members are looking for. If you look for large education systems, US is the country to go. If you look for large education systems, I mean, their ECDs are highly institutionalized. Maybe future programs beyond this one, you might also want to go and look at what Cuba and Jamaica are doing, where you have a mixture of institutionalized, community-based, and having families playing a role. Those are the two countries where I found that, I mean, even UNESCO says they've got one of the best models when it comes to ECD, which is quite inclusive. But also, honorable members might want to look at size of the country as well. Finland is among the best, but I would say that, Singapore would even be better than Finland. Finland used to be the best, but has even been overtaken by Singapore now. But it depends what honorable members are looking for. As I've said, if it's about ECD, I think US would be a very good country to look at. But don't stop with the US, because our context is such that it might not be a neat fit into the US, because US has got resources, they've institutionalized everything. You might want to look at other countries as well. So that's my contribution there, Chair. But I do believe that whichever countries you arrive at, you'll never get a perfect fit with the South African context, but it depends on what you're looking for. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much for that information, DG. Members, then we are going to put a submission that is supporting the US for June 2023. For the study tool. So we will then ask our staff to work on this, and then they would have to make application as very early as possible. If it's possible, if we can do it before we close. I know there are a lot of submissions that we spoke of. There are a lot of applications that we spoke of. So there is a lot of work that you guys need to do starting from after this meeting, so that we try to process those applications. And that includes this particular study tour as well. Honorable Notat.
Chair, can I suggest something, Chair? That can we submit for both US and Finland and then take it offline to lobby each other on this thing? Because, you know, I'm sure we can find some common ground.
Okay. No, it's fine. I don't think that's really an issue. We can make in a submission, and of course with both countries, but it's going to depend on the costing then when it goes to people that must approve. But it's fine for now. Let us agree to put both countries, and then we will see the issues of the costing. And then in the meantime, let us do the applications. On that note, thank you very much. I think we are done. Is there anything else, Llewellyn?
No, thank you, Chairperson. Just before you close, Chair, I just forgot to mention that for those that have to die rise on the 19th, it's the official results released by the Minister on the 19th of Jan. So members will probably be contacted or travel on the 19th and 20th for the official results released. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Litsiye.
Thank you very much, Chair. Noting that this is our last meeting of the year, I wanted to wish all members a prosperous New Year and Merry Christmas. The team from DBE, let them enjoy the holidays as well, Chairperson. DG, don't travel too much. It's festive. Relax, go home, and your team relax. We shall see each other when we open on the just before the 19th of January. Thank you very much, Chair.
DG?
Chair, thanks. I want to follow on the example of Honorable Litsiye to wish you and honorable members the most needed and well-deserved rest. And I hope you are going to rest. Take completely off your constituency work and work of parliament, as well as your families. Wish you a wonderful festive season and a prosperous new year. Unfortunately, Honorable Litsiye, I'm on my way to the Northern Cape and I'm driving. We are monitoring and supporting marking centers, and I'm going to end up with the Western Cape in Cape Town, because I'll just be in PE. I'm not going to fly, I'm going to drive. And then I'll be going home as soon as we are done on the 22nd of December. So that as we invite you to come and celebrate with us the results of the class of 2021 on the 19th, the work should have been done and completed. We will only get to rest sometime, maybe during the course after the reopening of schools during the course of next year. Otherwise, the best wishes and God bless you all, and we love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Yabo?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I want to also follow in the footsteps of Honorable Litsiye. To wish the whole team, the honorable members from various political party formations, a Merry Christmas for those who are Christian, a prosperous New Year for all of us. Let us all get the rest we all need. I want to also give gratitude to the team who have supported us for this whole year, Secretary of the Committee, the support staff. I will not name them one by one, but I want to offer my gratitude to the work they have done, sterling work, if I might add. And Chairperson, I also want to give gratitude to you for steadying the ship and holding it tight. For the whole year, you have done very well. We appreciate your leadership. I think you make a good case for woman leadership and the fight for gender equality. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, even to the department, the DG, ever informative, ever available, ever supportive of the work of that the committee does. DG Siyabulela Nakakulu and your team. Let me close off there, Honorable Chair, before I go on and on and on and on, like I know I can, competing with Litsiye. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bapu Ngobo?
Slalo, we Toson Pegley, Eluba, Gibonga Wenakala, Nakogonge Owenzile, Ushola, Ebekombisa, Uwaz, Uslanganisa, Jenge Pepeba, Elwazu Til, Lingawazu Tilhambe Dawonye, Lisebens and Dawonye, Lingeslugene Parat. Fisa ukubonga amalungu onke ekomiti indlela asebenze ngayo bese ngithi ke abe bengingawamema amalungu ngwamemela onke eKZN kuhle kakhulu eKZN kulama holiday sihlalo ngiyabonga ngiyabonga kakhulu sihlalo ngiyabonga.
No, Tata, is it at legacy hand or you want to speak?
No, Chair, I think it would be a mess of me not to say anything. But I just want to say thank you to you, Chair, to the whole committee, in all facets that it comes with, for being very patient with some of our long questions, some of us. But we really, really appreciate it, Chair. And I also want to thank the department for bearing with some of my inquiries throughout the year. And I just pray that everybody has a blessed Christmas and they've got a prosperous new year. And I will be waiting in the new year for DG's tea as well, Chair, because seemingly this year it never took place. So I just want to thank the stakeholders as well that participate in the committee. I see some of them are on here. And hopefully that we'll come back all safe and continue with the work of making sure that we provide good quality education. Thanks.
No, thank you very much. I think I must also thank every one of you, honorable members, for being committed members to the committee. We wouldn't have done much if it was not for your commitment. And I always say we are very cool committee as basic education and parliament. We might come from different political parties, but we do have a way of managing our differences politically. We are able to work together since we have started in 2019. To date, we have managed to hold the Department of Basic Education to account together. I want to thank our staff, all of them. If it was not because of you, our work would not have been easy. You have assisted us, you've always been there. We still need you in 2023. DG, please pass our word of gratitude to both the minister and the deputy minister. And we also want to say to you in particular, thank you for being a committed director general. You double tasked. You were doing oversight everywhere, but you managed to be in our committees as well, and you managed to lead the department. You've managed to give answers. You've managed to do and handle everything professionally, and we are really proud that the department, as huge as it is led by yourself. So let us wish also the African National Congress well, because it's going to the national conference in 10 days, which is going to be a way forward for this country. We need to pray for our country, all of us. We need to pray for our democracy. We need to pray for the leadership of this country. We need to pray in particular for the ANC and the outcomes of that particular conference. We might differ politically, but the ANC is the governing party, and the ANC can't sink and be directionless. It means the whole country will be directionless. So with those words, I am wishing you a Merry Christmas in advance. I am wishing you a prosperous 2023. May we all come alive. May we all come fresh. May we be at least with our families. I don't know if the DG is saying they are closing only on the 22nd, but I guess DPE doesn't really close, and he's used to that. But to all of us, let us go and eat our beetroots, our seven colors. Let us look, take care of our health, and till we meet next year. Thank you so much, comrades, for your cooperation. And thank you very much for those that probably would have said things that they have not accepted. We apologize. We want to move on, all of us. Thank you very much, Siyabonga. The meeting is adjourned.
Long live the chair.
Chair only eat meat, chair.
Long live the chair.
Long live the chair.
Not seven.